all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson, who is on travel. I have got a wonderful topic for you. When I read this study, I just couldn't wait to have the expert on our show, and we're so honored to have him. So here's the question. What happens to your fat when you lose weight? Well, I mean, what you think is the answer, I can guarantee you, is wrong. And Dr. Ruben Meerman is a physicist at the Queensland University of Technology. And he actually asked that question after having done a little physical change himself, and was amazed when he asked other people what they thought was going on when you shed that extra weight, that the answers were all wrong. And so I'm going to just get right to it here. First, Dr. Meerman, welcome to Her Radio. So if fat doesn't turn into heat or energy, what does happen to it?
The atoms that fat is made of end up coming out of you as carbon dioxide gas and water. So an invisible gas and a clear liquid that we all drink every day, that's what the physical substance becomes. And we do get energy as a result. But if we did what we all thought was happening, which is that most people answered my survey, and these are doctors, dietitians, personal trainers, fitness instructors, most people think it's just turning into pure heat or energy and then kind of vanishing into the ether. But you can't do that with atoms. And we all forgot this very fundamental fact that all things are made of atoms. And so that misconception is wrong by a factor of 10,000 Nagasaki bomb equivalents, because that's how much energy you would get if you would turn, say, 10 kilograms or... Now, I'm sorry, I'm from Australia, so I speak in these horrible things called kilograms. But if you have a reasonable amount of weight loss... And it did turn into pure energy, it would be the equivalent of nuclear bombs going off all around you.
You know, I wish we had nuclear bombs of fat, you know, being shed right and left. I'm just having these wild visions, Dr. Meerman. And, you know, I think that when you did your survey, which I think was a brilliant idea as a fellow scientist, I just thought it was wonderful. I think a lot of people, certainly in the United States, would say, well, gosh, if you drop fat, it basically, and I quote, turns to muscle. Well, obviously, we know that doesn't happen because you don't switch tissues like that. That doesn't work. So if it's not, you know, miraculously being converted into a different body tissue, now we understand that you're actually blowing it out as carbon dioxide, but also some of it is also being converted into water, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So the numbers are really quite astounding. Just to lose 1 pound of fat, you have to inhale nearly 3 pounds of oxygen to make that happen, because the two will then react in this long chain of beautiful biochemical reactions. But we don't need to worry about all of those and get bogged down in them, because it's very simple. The overarching equation is very simple. You need, if you want to lose 1 pound of fat, then you need 3 pounds nearly, 2.9, of oxygen to be inhaled, and obviously you can't do that in one go because gases are so wispy and light. So each time you exhale, then, if you've got yourself into the point where you are now burning fat because you didn't eat enough for the day and you're going to your fat reserve, you slowly turn that into, and then the numbers on the other side are really interesting too, it will become 2.8 kilograms of carbon dioxide and only 1.1 kilogram of water. And that sort of slowly comes out of you.
Oh, how fascinating.
It is really wonderful. And here's the really, really exciting thing, I think, for people who have been struggling with their weight, because this really resonated in my mind that, okay, every time I inhale, in goes a certain amount of gas, has a certain weight. When I exhale it again, it weighs just a tiny little bit more because the carbon in the carbon dioxide, that carbon came from either the food that I ate or if I'm running on fat now because I haven't eaten very much, then that carbon is coming from the fat that I had stored and I'm now burning it up as using it as a fuel, but it's not vanishing. I'm blowing it out of my body and out it goes. And it's kind of obvious that it wouldn't make sense to most people because it's an invisible gas. We just completely forget that gases have mass. And so that's where most of your fat is going. Nearly about 84% of a kilogram or a pound, or it doesn't matter what it is, if you're burning fat, 84% of the mass of that fat, and this is the calculation I published, that 84% of your lost weight is coming out through your lungs. So they really are your primary excretory organ for the fat that you're losing. And the next thing that happens is people start hyperventilating when I tell them this, and they say, oh, I'm losing weight. and they sort of are, but if they continue to do that without raising their metabolic rate, which you can only do by moving more, physical activity, if you just sit in the chair and hyperventilate, well, we all know what happens next. You can get yourself unconscious, faint. So it's quite funny. The misconceptions run very, very deep about the human body.
Well, Dr. Meerman, therefore, I think you're giving us one of the best reasons to exercise on the planet. And that is, you're exercising, aren't you taking in a boatload of extra oxygen? Because, number one, you're raising your metabolic rate. You have to, because especially if you're doing high-intensity exercise versus, you know, just sitting in a chair somewhere. So isn't this a great reason to get up and rock and roll?
It is very much so. And when you do it, what's even better is if you get a calculator, any of the online calculators will work, and just have a look at how much energy you did burn, because energy, although, you know, it's not mass, it's still the best way to sort of keep track of how much is going in and how much is going out. They're perfectly related, the number of carbon atoms that you're exhaling and the amount of energy. So it's still the best way to track your how much you're inhaling and exhaling. So yes, it's definitely brilliant at increasing the rate at which you're getting rid of this carbon. You will breathe more. So, however, it's also extremely important then to keep an eye on how much you're eating, because the other thing we published in this paper was just a reminder that if you go for a one-hour jog, a run, and these are all numbers based on a certain weight, it'll change a little bit for the heavier you are or the lighter you are. But 1 hour of jogging will only increase the amount of carbon that comes out of you for that day by about 20%, not very much, a fifth. I mean, it's very, very good if you now look after how much you eat. But all you need to undo all of that jogging is to eat one extra muffin on top of what you should have had that day, and you've cancelled out all that running. So the other thing that I think is really great here is when you start tracking your energy in, energy out, what you're really tracking is your carbon in, carbon out. But if you keep a really close eye on that, you start to see that, okay, I've done my duty for the day, I've done some physical activity, I love it.
Dr. Meerman, you have been fabulous. I want everyone to go to your website. That's Ruben Meerman, RubenMeerman.com, to learn more about this fascinating science. We just figured out what happens to your fat when you lose weight. Honey, you're just blowing it out there. And then a little bit of water, too, through your sweat and through excreting. Who knew? And no, it's not being converted to another tissue. Wrong. Thank you, Dr. Meerman. I'm Dr. Pam Peake with Michelle King Robeson. Listen to her radio and all the great shows on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.